Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. God is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Blessed be the name of our God. Amen. Blessed be the name of our God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of our God. In the name of the Lord. God. For some that it may be unfamiliar, the scripture talks about that the Lord would speak through unknown tongues, and that in the gift of the Spirit, that there would be a gift of speaking in unknown tongues and a gift of interpretation. And we've seen that today, tongues with an interpretation. Amen. So, and certainly God wants us to believe that He is a mountain-moving God. Amen. And Ian, sitting on the back row, has his infant son, and that's been a mountain moved in their life. Amen. So that's a change in situations, and we're very thankful. Amen. For God doing a work in their life. So God is a mountain moving God. Amen. He moves mountains. Anybody ever had a mountain moved in your life? Amen. I've certainly seen God move mountains in my life. Awesome to be with you today. Amen. On a cold, cold day, Joshua, my wife, texted me this morning. In North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, they have 13 inches of snow. And four snow trucks in the entire city of Charlotte. It's well over a million people in Charlotte, and they have four snow trucks. So they're all sitting at home today, waiting for one of the four to make it its way 20 miles out to where they're at. So we're not the only ones that have faced that. We're working, Reach Out America is working with Northern Mississippi. They've had a huge ice storm The roads are closed down. Lines have fallen in Texas. Churches' roofs have collapsed because of the weight of the snow and the ice. And so there's a lot of people facing difficulty because of the weather. But we're in church today. Somebody say, thank the Lord. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, man, I'm glad you're here. Amen. Thank the Lord. We're going to look, if you would, with me. I want to talk from Romans chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Just a couple verses to get started. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law, the Spirit of life, has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Verse 2. Is that both? That is both. Verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. It's not up there, but verse 3 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. This is a whole context of Romans 6, 7, and 8 together. I don't have time to preach it all, but it's a great Bible study. Someday, I've taught it in the past, teach it again in the future. Beautiful truth hidden in here. But I want to talk for a few minutes about transformed by truth. Would you pray with me that the Lord would open our hearts today and speak to us? God, we thank you, amen, for your great grace. I thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that flows in this service through hearts and lives. God, I pray that you would reach into our heart and unlock faith, that we would allow faith to arise, trust in you. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. God, let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I pray in Jesus' great name. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The Bible promises the supernatural. The Bible promises the supernatural beyond the capacity of man, that God's Spirit can move beyond the capacity of man, that God can change beyond the capacity of man. I looked up the idea in Scripture of transformed by truth. Transformation includes multiple dimensions in an individual. It's not singular. It's not just a spiritual feeling. It's not a hair standing up on the back of your neck. But it includes a literal change of heart. The Romans or the British use a word, repent, to do what is called in English, in American military, about face. You're marching in a singular direction. And if you repent in the British military, they call out repent. It literally means that you turn and you head in the opposite direction, that you change the direction that you're walking in. So transformation in Christ, being transformed by the truth of Christ, includes a change of heart. It also includes a shift in attitude. Anybody ever needed an attitude adjustment? Anybody ever needed to change the way you look at the world? Friday night, I talked to my neighbor. He was out shoveling his walk, and I pulled up to check my mail, and neighbor across the street from me, we chatted for a few minutes. They just took their kids to Disney, and so we were just talking about little things, and they asked, "Where's your wife?" And my wife has been gone to North Carolina for the month of January. She's coming back, at least planning to come back. I don't know if they'll get out now because of the snow, but Tuesday night she's planning on flying back, and I'm very, very happy to have her come home. Now, I don't care what you say. I say thank the Lord, all right? I'm happy that she's coming home. But I was chatting with my neighbor, and my wife said, "Well, you did this." He was talking, and I said, "Well, you know, if you happen to have any extra chicken after dinner, just throw it out here by the curb, because I'm home alone, and I'm looking for something to eat somewhere. Just kind of throw a piece of chicken out by the road, and I'll pick it up and eat it." So he texted me this week and said, "Hey, would you come over Friday night?" I told my wife that. We've never been over to their house. They've never really come to our house. We're very friendly people, and they're very friendly people, wonderful people, but we've never actually done that. And so he felt guilty. I made him feel guilty, I think. And so they felt like they ought to invite me over, which was very kind of them. And so Friday night, they invited me over to eat. And I went in, we were talking, and they were telling me about a 95-year-old lady that they'd become friends with when they lived in New York. And her husband was 105, I think is what they said. And he has recently died, and she despairs. She is in despair. They're Christian. They go to a Greek Orthodox church, and they believe very strongly in their faith. They believe very strongly in Jesus Christ. So she believes, at least she thought she believed, that you would go to heaven if you did all the things that the church taught you and prayed the prayers and tried to have faith in God, that you would go to heaven. But now that he's gone, she's alone, and she sits questioning her faith. You know, what now? Is it real? Is it? And so he was asking me questions. He was asking me, how do I help her? How do I teach her? What I'm going, they're headed back to New York in a few short weeks. And how do you help somebody who's 95, who lost a husband of 70 years, to change your attitude? Well, and the only thing that can change an attitude is faith in Christ. The only thing that can change an attitude is, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I believe that Jesus is the creator of the world. I believe that the God that was in Christ, amen, was the God that spoke the world into existence. And because of that, he exists outside of the framework of the world. In the beginning, in Bereshit, chapter 1, verse 1, God spoke into existence the world. He created the world by speaking the word. And if you believe anything, believe that God is the creator of the world, and that by speaking, he can speak the world into existence. But if you believe that, if you believe that God speaks and the world begins, then you believe that God pre-existed the world. So God pre-existed time, space, and matter. God pre-existed time, space, and matter. Time, space, and matter all began on the day that God spoke the world into existence. And he created the night and the day on the very first day. And he called the evening and the night, night. And he called the day, the morning, and the daytime. And then on the, I think it was the third day, he created the sun. But he created day and night on the first day. And because of that, he created time. And once time begins, he had a second day. Time was how long the sun was up
And then how long the sun was down until it came up the next day. When it came up the next day, it was a new day. And so that began the idea of how long time lasts. And so the second day he created, the third day he created, the fourth day he created. But God does not stand inside the boundary of time. God is not bound by time. If you want a different perspective, listen to me. Listen very carefully, because this changes everything. Because often we're bound by time. I'm bound by time. I have about 20 minutes before y'all get antsy. And in about 20 minutes, people start shifting. Kids start going to the bathroom. Some folks say, you know what, I need chicken. Pastor talked about chicken, I need chicken. And you head off and go to wherever you're going to go get your chicken for the day. And so we're bound by time. I realize that. Sometimes I don't act like I know it. But I do know that I am bound by time and only have so much time when I'm up here preaching. But I'm telling you, amen, you can have your life absolutely transformed, your faith absolutely transformed, amen, if you're willing to look at the world differently than you do through your natural eyes. You have to look through them with the eyes of faith, amen, and it changes you. You live by what you believe. You live by what you believe. Don't tell me you believe something and you live differently. Don't tell me you believe in the mercy of God, the grace of God. You believe in right and wrong and you steal from the local bank. Don't tell me that you believe everything and, you know, is honorable before God, that you're going to follow God and reflect Jesus Christ and you beat up your neighbor or you kick the dog or you shoot the cat or you invade your neighbor in some way, you're invading their property, or you're rude to people, or you're mean. Don't tell me, amen, that you're really a follower of Jesus Christ if your behavior doesn't reflect that. What happens is your behavior reflects what you believe, and it's a wake-up. When I do something that I shouldn't do, and I act like I shouldn't act, or think what I shouldn't think, I say to myself, you know what? You're not reflecting Christ. You're not being a reflection. You're not doing what you believe. You've got to repent. You've got to go and say, God, forgive me for this behavior that's outside of you. God, bring my behavior inside of you because I believe in Jesus Christ. And I bring my body, the Bible says, bring your body under subjection to the will of the Spirit. Amen. And you can't have the will of the Spirit in your mind and the not will of the Spirit in your behavior. And so in Romans 8, I'm going to read it again. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Who? Some people forget this part. If you're in Christ, then you walk not after the flesh. If you're in Christ, you don't obey the flesh and the lust thereof. If you're in Christ, you've been transformed by the renewing of your heart, the renewing of your mind. Those things get washed. And I tell you, we need our hearts and minds washed regularly because the dirt of living, the dirt of problems, the dirt of situations in our lives that assault us, amen, try to get us to disbelieve. Sorry. I've been wrestling with something this week and my voice is a little off. It will keep you from fulfilling God's will in your life if you allow your humanity to rule and reign in righteousness. Because your humanity won't rule and reign in righteousness. Your humanity rules and reigns in selfulness. What I want. What's good for me. What I like to do. The Bible tells us that we can be transformed in attitude and emotional healing. that God can heal your emotions, that God can wash your emotions. Sometimes we're driven by our emotions. We're driven by how we feel about somebody or how we feel about somebody. And it's amazing. You can't find that in Christ. He literally finds himself hanging on the cross. Amen. They've got a spear they're fixing to jam into his side. They've been beating on him. They've been spitting on him. And he's hanging at the cross. And he says, Father, forgive them. Forgive the guy with the hammer. Forgive the guy with the spear. Forgive the guy that condemned me. Forgive the men that lied about me. Forgive all of them. He wasn't narrowing it down to one person. He's talking about the whole crowd that was against him. The whole crowd that cried, crucify him. Crucify him. You know what? He had 10,000 angels. I mean, it wasn't not an option that he couldn't have called 10,000 angels down. The Bible's pretty clear. He could have called thousands of angels down and just set the world right at that moment and done it through force. But that's not the way he wanted to do it. He didn't want to accomplish it through his humanity, through his authority. He wanted to do it through his sacrifice. And sometimes you're only going to get what you need in God by your willingness to sacrifice, to get rid of, to cut out, to lay aside. Amen. Because ultimately the goal is, I want to be what he wants me to be. I want to be transformed. Amen. And when you walk in Christ, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Those that have been transformed, those that walk not after the flesh. And you have opportunity for the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of those things flow from the inside to the outside. Amen. When you're walking in the Spirit, when you've got the joy of the Lord in your life, amen, things flow out of you. Grace and mercy and peace flow out of you. Amen. Because you're walking in the Spirit. Somebody help me and say amen. So transformation occurs in social contexts as well as spiritual contexts. John 3:18 says, there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged. Amen. For not believing in God's one and only Son, the New Living Translation says. So there is something there, amen, that says if you believe, you've accomplished something. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let him lead and guide you. Let him direct your path. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. You won't obey, amen, the flesh and the desires of the flesh if you let the Spirit of God lead and guide you. We need God's Spirit. We need a transformation of our hearts and minds to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. To be what God wants us to be, we've got to let God do God's job in our life. Amen. And he wants to renew. I'm in a room full of great people. I know I'm in a room full of great people. I'm not preaching for condemnation. That's not my point at all. My point is, but what God really wants is a clean heart, a clean mind, and a full spirit. And there are markers in our life. There's tests that reveal that we don't have all the faith that we thought we had. What marker is that? Well, it looks like fear. Fear and faith aren't great co-partners. Let me say that again. Fear and faith don't coexist comfortably. They're oppositional. Faith is I trust God. We just had our lesson this morning was Esther and Mordecai and the principle of them trusting God. They didn't know that they could trust God when she stood before the king alone and she said, "Hey, king, I got a problem I want to talk to you about. I want you to come to dinner." He had the right to turn down his scepter and have her slain. He'd thrown out the last queen. It's no wonder he didn't throw out the next queen and go for a third queen. But she found favor and she stepped up in faith. There was no great word of God that spoke to her and said, "You go ahead and do it and I'm going to be with you." There's no great faith. There's no great trust. There's no great announcement from a prophet saying, "You're going to go in there and everything's going to be okay." There was no great statement. Amen. There was just her uncle saying, "Look, if you don't do it, God's going to get somebody else to do it, and you might as well go ahead and be the person to do it." He didn't say, "God told me to tell you that." He just said, "You just go ahead and believe." And she stepped into faith, believing that God was going to be with her. And I'm just here today to tell you to stand up and trust that God is with you. God is going to go through it with you. Amen. And you can just go ahead and believe in God. Amen. And God will not fail. I love the song they've already sung. He didn't fail. Amen. He's never lost a battle. There's an old one we used to sing, "He's never failed me yet." And I'm here to declare, amen, in many battles, in many times of trouble, in many times of fear, when fear assaults, "He's never failed me yet." Amen. He's never backed up. He's never backed down. He's never left the battle. He's never left the relationship. Amen. He's never deceived. He's never been defeated. The only thing that gets defeated is me, is my faith. That's the only thing that gets defeated. And if you keep your faith, listen, you can make as many mistakes as you do, but don't trade your faith. You just got to keep coming back to the cross. God, forgive. God, I realize my mistake. I realize God. Amen. My humanity showed. I thought I had it all worked out. I thought I had it all taken care of. And all of a sudden, I don't. What do you do with that? What do you do with "I don't"? I didn't. I'm here to declare, amen, that you can. And many people, all of us, everybody in the room has come to a crossroads where you didn't, where you failed, where you fell short, where you've made a mistake, or you've had fear, doubt, unbelief. What do you do when you get to the crossroads? What do you do when you get to that position? Amen. And the enemy says, "You know what? You might as well give up. Might as well throw in the towel. Might as well lay it aside. You're not what the preacher preaches." Amen. So you might as well just lay it down, roll over, and let go. Just quit. Just give up. Amen. You're never going to be able to make it. I'm preaching to you, amen, that's when you need to get up and say, "I'm not going to be that man. I'm going to be the man that God wants me to be. I'm going to step forward in faith. Amen. I'm going to trust that God washes my sins away. I'm going to trust that God walks with me. I'm trusting that God's here beside me. Even though I failed, even though I've made a mistake, even though I've stumbled, amen, God's never going to fail me. If I don't walk away from Him, He's not going to walk away from me. And I'm going to walk toward Him in faith." Amen. You've got to get the right mind. You've got to get the right heart. That God's on your side. God's cheering for you to win. God's on this side saying, "Come on, you can make it. Come on, you can make it. I'm going to go with you. I'll be with you. I'll fight your battles with you. I'll help you. I'll wash you again. I'll wash your heart. I'll wash your mind. Amen. I'll wash your spirit. I'll cleanse you. I'll recreate you. Amen. I'll give you a new mind and a new spirit."
Amen. Don't ever give up. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life, look at that. The old has passed away. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Jesus once referred to a man that came to him with faith and then left. And he said, well, that's like a dog returning to his vomit. There's nothing to return to. The world never gave you anything good. The world never gave you anything good. Once you've tasted Christ, there's nothing to return to. Let me preach that for a second. Amen. Once you've tasted Christ, there is nothing sweeter. There is no alcohol that can beat, amen, the Holy Spirit moving in your life. Amen. There's no drug addiction that can beat the Spirit of God moving through your soul. There's nothing. Amen. There's no illicit relationship. There is no outside relationship. Amen. There is no affair. There is no adultery, idolatry. There is nothing. Amen. That can compare with your relationship with God. If you just fall in love with Jesus. Amen. And just keep falling in love with Jesus. And just keep falling in love with Jesus. And just keep falling in love with Jesus. And keep falling in love with Jesus. Amen. No matter what happens in your life. No matter what goes on around you. Just keep falling in love with Jesus. Amen. Just over and over and over again. Make the commitment. God, I want to know you. God, I want to know you in your resurrection power. God, I want to know you in your holiness. I want to know you in your righteousness. God, I want to see your face. God, I want to have a relationship with you. God, I want to have a relationship with you. Amen. You don't need a relationship with the church, but you do need a relationship with people in the church. Threefold cord is not easily broken. Rick Warren said, your identity is not your sin. Your identity is not your struggles. Your identity is in Christ. You see, when I talked about in the beginning, open the message, God standing outside of creation, and all through the 1,000 years that we've been dealing with sin and unrighteousness, and if you believe the Bible, 6,000 years of sin and unrighteousness, God's walked outside of it. God's walked outside of sin and unrighteousness. God's walked outside of faith. Amen. He's not down in that, being bound by that. He lives outside of it. But I'm telling you, when he sees faith, he steps into it. Amen. And puts his presence into your life and into your situations. Amen. And he fights your battles and he makes a way. You might not know it. You might not see it. You might be sitting there, I don't think God works that way. I'm here today to declare to you, if you stand up for God, God stands up for you. If you fight for God, God fights for you. Amen. If you believe in God, amen, God will be there on your side. God will show up in your battle. God will make a way when there is no way. Amen. Regardless of what's going on in your life, amen, you stand up with faith, and I believe God will meet you exactly where you're at. How do you get faith? Well, I'm trying my best to tell you. You quit having God inside of your problems. Listen to me. You quit having a God that has to step inside of your problems. And you get a God that's handling the whole world. Who's willing to pause and touch your life beyond time, beyond understanding, but present. You see what I'm saying? He's unbound
by your boundaries. He's unbound by your weaknesses. He's unbound by your insecurities. He's unbound by your fears. He's not held captive by what you're afraid of. He's not held captive by your misunderstandings, by your misgivings, by your however you want to say, whatever it is you're wrestling with and holding on to and you think is keeping you away from God. I'm telling you, amen, God is outside. God is unbound by any one of your fears. God is unbound by any one of your insecurities. God is unbound. God's going to remain God regardless of what you think about Him, regardless of what you believe about Him. He's going to be God beyond your ability to understand. He is the Almighty God. Amen. And He can reach in. And He does reach into you and your situations if you can believe. So the battle of your soul is not God's battle. Because when He died on the cross and rose from the dead, He won your battle. Very simply. He defeated. Look, if you can defeat death, hell, and the grave, ain't much else out there can hold you. Stand with me, would you? I'm preaching of God beyond the dimensions that you understand. Taste, touch, feel, how you interact with the world. And if you could, just for a minute, tilt your head back. Do this with me. Tilt your head back. Close your eyes. Look up for a second. With your mind's eye, with your head back, you're looking up just for a minute. How big is your God? If you looked all the way to your left, you couldn't find the edge of God there. You look all the way to your right in your mind, as far as your mind can reach. You're not going to find the edge of God there. If you could look behind you, you won't find the edge of God. You look off in the distance. No matter how high up you fly, you could see the curvature of the earth. You're not going to find the edge of God. He exists above all. One problem when preachers talk like this is people feel like, well, I'm too insignificant then for God. But the Word says He has the very hairs of your head numbered. And so He knows you intimately. Bow your head with me. My Lord. Does anybody in the room want to find themselves in His presence? Does anybody want to know Him? The unknowable God that wants to be known by you. That wants you to believe in Him. The Almighty.
Bow your head with me just a moment. Amen. Would you reach out your spirit, your soul right this second? Amen. Would you have a conversation with God? God, I want to know you. God, I want to know you. God, I want you in my life. God, I want you to wash my mind. God, I want you to wash my heart. David prayed, create in me a right spirit. God, let me lay aside my fears. God, let me lay aside my insecurity. God, let me lay aside my sin. Let me lay aside anything that doesn't reflect you. I pray, God, move in me. Amen. Nobody can pray that prayer for you. Nobody can pray that prayer insincerely and have any impact. But if you open your heart sincerely, God, I want to know you. God, I want to walk with you. God, I want you to lead and guide me. Amen. I want my hand in yours, God. Amazing things happen. God, I pray that I would not be bound by faith or faithlessness. I wouldn't be bound by fear. God, I pray that you would help me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, I feel the presence of the Lord here. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I have to open up the altar. I just have to open up the altar. I want to invite you, if you want to come and pray. Amen. Would you step out and come down to the altar? People will come and pray with you. We love praying with people. Amen. We love seeing people get the victory. Amen. We'll pray with you. We'll talk with you. We'll help you understand what God's wanting to do in your life. Amen. We invite you to step out and come. Amen. The church is coming. Hallelujah. Just step out and join with them as they come. Amen. God, I want to know you. I want to know the Almighty. Amen. God, I want you to lead and guide me. You speak to us, God. I want to hear your voice. God, I want to know your path in the name of the Lord. God, I want to find out what you want me to do. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. God, I pray not by my mind, not by my strength, God. But by your Spirit, I pray. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Amen. I invite you to come. Let the Holy Ghost do a work in your life. Amen. In the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. God, I pray in the name of the Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Lord. God, create in us a clean heart, right spirit, God. I pray in the name of the Lord. I pray in the name of the Lord. Amen.